So I'm excited for our teacher this morning. I think y'all are going to be excited. Brother Ira, it's all you. Can we give it up for Ira this morning? Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you today for the privilege of being in worship, the privilege of prayer, the privilege of being sons of God. We thank you today. We ask you, Father, to give us all what we need for this hour. In Jesus' great name we pray. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen. We're just so grateful to the Lord for standing here and to Clay and Susan, our apostles and leaders here, for this opportunity. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. So quickly, how many remember that Nesty commercial that says, take the Nesty plunge, just dive right in? Okay, well, we're diving right in. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Luke 17 and 1 says, then he said to the disciples, Jesus said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It is impossible that no offense should come. So we want to talk about escaping the trap of offense. Escaping the trap of offense. Amen. Amen. So just from very beginning, we know that forgiveness and repentance is key to dealing with offense. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness and repentance is key to dealing with offense. Amen. And then verse 2 says, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, returns saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now listen to this. And the apostle said, not the disciples in verse 1, but the 12 in verse 5. The apostle says, the ones with authority and ones with sense said, the apostle says, Lord, increase our faith. Now notice, it was not the signs and the wonders. It was not the miracles and the feeding of the multitudes and the raising of the dead that led to a desire in the apostles to say, increase my faith. But it was having to forgive. Whoa. Not the disciples, because Jesus had many disciples, but the 12 who are now apostles says, look, we got a problem with this. We need more faith for this. Amen. Amen. So that tells me that maybe we do not take seriously the subject of offense seriously enough. Amen. The Greek word for offend here in this verse 17 and 1, the Greek word is scandalon, which means it's a picture of a bait that's attached to a trap. The problem with the fish is not the bait. The bait only leads to the hook. But the bait is that leads to the trap. Amen? Amen. So if someone says to you they plan to offend you, well, then your spiritual radar, it doesn't really go into action. It just remains in weather forecast mode. Forecast for tomorrow is sunny, breezy, zero chance of rain. Amen. 79 degrees. But if someone says they plan to scandalize you, your spiritual radar goes into warfare mode. It goes to DEFCON 1, nuclear attack imminent. Amen. Because they plan to scandalize. Amen. Well, you may say, well, scandalize is a different ballgame from offense. But actually, it's the same thing. Offense comes from the word scandaloing, where we get the word scandalizo, where we get the English word scandalize. Amen. So maybe we should begin to take the subject of offense a lot more serious, bring it to the top of our radar intent. Amen. Amen. And many times we've all heard ourselves say this: when someone makes us mad, someone offends us, we say, "Well, I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it." But we are still holding on to the offense. Just, and here we go. You just said out of your own mouth that you are staying in agreement with what the enemy wants to do, because you says, "I'm not going to forget this." Amen. See, offense is insidious. It comes in under the radar. It comes in unaware. Amen. It's insidious. I say offense is like yeast. You put a little yeast in a dough, and if you're not careful, if you don't watch it, that dough will rise and be all on the floor and everywhere. Amen. It happens quietly. It happens stealthily. It happens insidiously. You're not realizing what's going on down on the inside. Amen. And you're not realizing that you are being paralyzed spiritually, being eaten alive from the inside out. Amen. So offense in itself is not harmful. If I have something in a jar that has a skull and two crossbones right here, if I don't bother it, it won't bother me. So offense in itself is not harmful. It won't hurt me until I internalize it. Amen. So how does offense become harmful? The offense is harmful when you internalize it. It becomes harmful when you nurse it, when you curse it, and when you rehearse it. When you nurse a thing, you cause a thing to grow. You cause it to have power and strength when you nurse it. Amen. You curse a thing, you despise it in your heart. Amen. Or when you rehearse a thing, you keep playing over and over in your mind what happened back then. Amen. You are internalizing it, and it becomes harmful because now your heart is feeding on that thing, which may have happened many years ago, right? So you may have been genuinely offended, or you may perceive that an offense was directed to you when it really wasn't. It happens all the time. Something said right here or in a pulpit across America before it gets to from this pulpit to the third row, something happens, and we don't really hear what was actually said. And we think something was directed toward us when it really wasn't. Amen. Offense is insidious, but whether it was really an offense or whether it really was not, it's still your heart that you must guard with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of your life. Amen. And so the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So offense will cause you to be snared, captured, trapped by the words of your own mouth. Many times when we're offended by something, first thing we do, we're going to say something. Somebody says something we don't like, and we say, "I can't believe they said so. Who do they think they are? Can you believe? Do you know what they told me? They said." You said something, and you are snared by the words of your own mouth. It's insidious offense. It comes in under the radar. Amen. It's a tool of the enemy to bring people into captivity. It is insidious. Offense is part of a very deceptive trap. Therefore, we must be prepared and armed for offenses, because our response determines our future, even generationally. So it's bigger than just you and yours and us four and no more. It can affect generations, amen? Many people are wounded. Many people are hurt and bitter because they have been offended. It's, offense is massive. Going through your day, probably many people you run across, they are offended about something, amen? You ever talked to a person who is angry but don't know why they are angry? What's going on? I don't know. What are you mad about? I said I don't know. It's just angry and don't realize why. Maybe they've fallen into the trap in which offense was the bait. Amen. Just an example. We look at 2 Samuel chapter 16 about Michael, David's wife, when she despised David in her heart because of the way he praised God. The problem with offense is always a heart problem. Michael despised David in her heart, and as a result, she was unable to conceive. Major embarrassment in their culture, amen, and being the king's wife. She's in the king's wife, just like we are the bride of Christ, but because of offense, we are unable to conceive. That's the trap. The goal of offense is no reproduction for the kingdom. Then comes division and separation, and our effectiveness becomes limited. But offense was the bait. It was the bait that drove us into the trap. Escaping the trap of offense. Now, David didn't do anything to Michael to cause that. He was just praising God. He had brought in the ark from Obed-Edom's house. The presence of the ark was blessing his house. It was blessing him. Now, we're bringing the blessing back to the city, and he was praising God. And she was offended because the way he praised God did not meet the expectations of the king, of the queen. I know the king should be acting like that. The queen, king should be going all acting all unseemly like that. It doesn't take all of that. And she was offended because of her expectations of how the king should praise God. Wow. Don't curse it. Amen. Don't curse the situation. There will always be people who will not meet your expectations. But here's a new twist. It's also vice versa. Amen. You see another example of this is Genesis 16 and 4 with Hagar, how she despised Sarah. Remember, it started in the heart and it manifested in her attitude towards Sarah, right? And as a result, Sarah treated her harshly to the point that she ran off into the desert. Well, she ended up coming back, but who needs that drama to start with? Amen. Which says this, offense will lead you into a dry desert place in your spirit. Because of offense, your prayer closet will be lonely. In your prayer closet, you can hear the crickets, you know, lonely. In your prayer closet, nobody there but you. In your prayer closet, you hear an echo, God, 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 God. Where are you? You. It's a lonely place in your prayer closet when offense is operating, amen. Why? Because it happens in the heart. Relationships in every area of life can be strained and stressful. So don't curse it. Don't despise it. It can not only that, But it can cause you to despise a person, place, or a thing. You can actually end up despising those who are close to you. Because why? Only someone who is close to you can really hurt you. What's somebody doing in Pakistan? It doesn't bother me. You know? What's somebody doing in Russia? It doesn't bother me. But if it's close enough, amen. So don't nurse it. Don't give it power and strength. Don't despise it by cursing it in your heart. Then don't rehearse it. Someone may say, no, have you ever seen an occasion when someone says, when the last time you seen Brother Banana? Banana, I can't stand bananas. No, what happened? Well, I still remember what they did. Well, when was that? It was 1962. I remember it like it was yesterday. What happened? They are rehearsing it, right? Well, because it already said out of their mouth, well, I forgive them, but I won't forget it. And so every time that name comes up, or how about this? Sometimes you can smell a cologne or a perfume in the store, and it reminds you of someone or a situation that was hurtful in the past. So what is it? You are held hostage to your past by replaying it over and over past mistakes, while in the meantime not forgiving yourself. So offense will cause you not to forgive yourself. Well, it's insidious. See how it comes under the radar? You know, you're looking for it, the problem to come from here or the problem to come from there, when actually it's coming from here. Not even forgiving yourself. It's a problem of the heart. Amen. Amen. I forgive him, but I won't forget it. Amen. So when you entertain something in your head long enough, it will get into your heart. And then when it gets in your heart, it becomes part of who you are. And then it can set up strongholds. Now it's really difficult to get rid of because it's become a stronghold. And it's been there for years and years and years because you never dealt with the offense. So don't rehearse it. When we rehearse a thing, it's like a wound that starts to heal. And, you know, then and when it starts to heal, it has a scab over it. But when you rehearse it, it's like ripping off the scab. I still remember. And giving that offense another opportunity to infect that area and to bring fresh pain. Don't rehearse it. Don't nurse it. Don't curse it. But I think we always think we can learn tremendous lessons for children. I'm always watching children. You always learn something from them. And you notice, like, even wherever children can be out playing, one child can push another child down, make them cry, and do something to leave a mark and cause pain. But a few minutes later, they're laughing and talking and playing together again. What happened? They didn't internalize it. Amen. They didn't internalize it. They didn't internalize the offense, even though another child pushed her down intentionally. But she didn't internalize it. So your response is key. So what is your response when the offense is present? Your response is that you should go to DEFCON 1, nuclear attack imminent. Amen. Deploy your weapon of forgiveness. Deploy your weapon of humility. Deploy your weapon of love of God. Amen. And repent for carrying the offense. Amen. Well, what do you mean, repent? I'm the victim. Why do I have to repent? Well, where's offense? In the heart. Where's God? In the heart. So now you got that mess in your heart with God, and God can't help you until you repent. Amen. So repent for carrying it before your heart starts feeding on it. Amen. When anything you feed on long enough, you develop appetite, like you like sugar too much, you know. Craving. Yeah, your heart will develop a craving for when it feeds on something long enough. Amen. Amen. So don't, in other words, don't internalize it. Don't nurse anything that would give it life and strength and power, because that thing can determine your future. So the apostles, the sent ones with authority, says, Lord, increase our faith. You may think it would be some of the other disciples, but it was the 12 that says, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus did not inspire a cry for greater faith, for raising the dead or calming the sea or feeding the multitude, for signs and wonders. It was a simple command to forgive those who have wronged you, because they live in an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, kick my dog, I'll kill your cat society. Escaping the trap of offense. So then, Jesus gives the 12, he gives the apostles a radical redefinition of reality in Matthew 18, 21. He says, forgive 7 times 70 a day, if necessary. If necessary, 490 times a day. That's every 3 minutes, if necessary. In other words, the point being, forgiveness should be unlimited, because there will always be unlimited opportunities to be offended. Jesus says it is impossible that no offense should come. So we have unlimited possibilities to be offended, but your response is what's key, amen? So it's your heart you have to guard against this insidious, this stealthful, this creeping under the radar enemy. It's the small foxes that destroy the vine, the Bible says, amen? Escaping the trap. Lord, increase our faith. So if the apostles were having a problem with this while walking with Jesus, that should raise our radar alert to the level of seriousness that we should have about being offended. Offended fathers can wound their children. Children grow up and wound their children, and on and on. It can be generational, amen. And we see that in our nation today. It's what's going on. We see on TV everybody acting out. It's something that's happened probably generationally. It's never been dealt with, amen. So offense is bait that can capture generations in the trap of Satan. It's obvious in our society today, and I believe that it is also possible that offense can lead to generational curses as well. Offense is not the trap, but it's the bait. It's the bait stick that lures the person into a hidden trap. Amen. So Luke 17, 1, then he said to his disciple, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. So it's not a question of opportunity to be offended. We will have opportunity, but it is how you respond to it. At the heart of every problem is usually a problem in the heart. As much of it starts when we allow an offense in. Again, if I don't internalize it, if I don't bother it, it won't bother me. But when I internalize it, I curse it, nurse it, rehearse it, my heart begins to feed on it. Amen. Amen. So it's a bait that leads to a hidden trap. So God commands us to love him supremely and our neighbors as ourselves in Matthew 22:34. But what happens when a person is offended, all of our emphasis is curved in on self. And our goal is to love self supremely, because we're trying to deal with a hurt. So we try to love self supremely. And when we do that, we will not love God or our neighbors. Because all our emphasis is curved in on self because of offense. And what's the goal? The offense is after your agape. It's after your agape love of God. It's after your loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But if offense is in the heart, well, you see the goal, right? He's after your agape. And the love and the passion we once had of God begins to wax cold. It's the goal of offense. Amen. So could it be that a person has unknowingly fallen in the trap of Satan that started with an offense? And Satan counts that as victory. Amen. Even though you think you're doing all right, he counts that as victory because he has delayed your effectiveness in many areas in your life. He has delayed your timetable or calling or whatever place you should be in right now. So no, you could be doing well. You think you could be doing well. You may be doing well. And you're doing well. But if offense wasn't there, you're doing well here. But if offense wasn't there, you would actually be here. But you think, oh, I'm all right. Everything, I'm all right. But offense has got you back here when you should be there. Amen. Offense has a way of constraining you, containing you, keep you in bondage. It's just like, how many have a pet parakeet, have a little bird cage, pet parakeet, or something like that, a bird cage? Many times, you know, you see people with like a little bird cage, they have at least two in there, right? And the birds are chirping, the birds are happy, they have companionship of each other, they have water, they have food, the cage is even decorated with little ribbons and stuff, but they're still not free. Offense. Escaping the trap of offense. Amen. Offense is a deceptive trap. And so 2 Timothy 2:23 says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Strife leads to offense. Offense leads to strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle and to be able to teach and patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses, here we go, and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Wow. And you think something was just your idea, but you're actually doing his will because offense is operating what? In the heart. Escaping the trap of offense. So humility is the key with dealing with offense. Have you ever found yourself judging a person or a situation based on assumption or appearance, or worse still, based on hearsay? Well, maybe not intentionally, but I think we all found ourselves there at some point in time. Amen. Because the trap in the snare of the enemy is very deceptive. Amen. Offense, scandalize should take you to the top of your radar screen. Your radar should be going from checking weather forecast to DEFCON 1. Amen. Attack imminent. Amen. Because the trap is deceptive. The best way to deal with offense is through repentance, forgiveness, and humility. Because the trap is deceptive. The bait is insidious. Insidious. It proceeds in a gradual, stealthy, subtle way, but with devastating and harmful effects. So know that a person can only disappoint you to the degree that they fall short of your expectations. Amen. And so we set ourselves up for offense when we require certain behaviors from those in whom we have relationships with. The more we expect, the greater the potential for offense, and vice versa. Amen. As an example, you see someone join anything, become a part of anything, become a part of the Bridge Club, become a part of any type of organization or whatever, become a part of a church, become a part of a game. There are expectations, right? And so before, when a person was out in the world, their expectations of the world was zero, because they didn't expect anything of them because they know how they are, and they didn't expect anything of you because they know how you are. So everybody's zero, zero. We all know what to expect, right? But when a person becomes a part of a fellowship, automatically their expectations of everybody else, it goes to a scale of 1 to 10, goes to at least a 5. Because they have expectation. Well, these are saints. These are people of God. They are saved. So they have a greater expectation of them. And you don't even know them. Never seen them before in your life. But you have expectations. And God, that's a 5. And so you know that what they expect, their expectation of the leader, 10 plus. And really don't know the person that well, right? Right, amen. So So when things, you know, whatever you part of and don't meet up to your expectation, then offense becomes even greater. May have been offended already to start with. Now offense is greater, amen? Because an offended person's focus is always curved in on self. Hardly ever thinking about what people's expectations of them are. Amen. So whatever you're part of, you're part of a club, a job, organization, a game, there are expectations. Part of a fellowship, there's expectations. You are expected to be faithful. You are expected to be on time. You are expected to support whatever part that with your time, your talent, even your treasure. There are expectations. Amen. And many times when an offended person realizes that something is expected of them, then they become further offended. It's insidious. It's deceptive. The trap is deceptive. Amen. Escaping the trap of offense. A person can only disappoint you to the degree that they fall short of your expectations. Like Michael, David's wife, we have preconceived expectation of people, and they may not even know that we have expectations of them. But we still have to operate in forgiveness. Forgiveness, humility, and repentance are key in dealing with offenses. Amen. And one way the enemy keeps a person in a offended state is to keep the offense hidden and cloaked with pride. Pride will keep you from admitting your true condition. I'm all right. I'm all right. Everything's fine. I'm okay. And it's not. It's hiding in pride. Amen. And so in my case, I admit it. What happened to me is how pride can hide offense. When people are offended or something like that, I always say, look, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't say anything to those people. I didn't do anything to those people. And if they want to be tripping, then that's their problem, because I didn't do anything to them. Amen. Why? Because I didn't want to have to apologize. So I made sure that I didn't say anything out of the way or say anything wrong. That's why I very seldom say anything. Well, Ira, what do you think? Well, you know, but Ira, you're the chairman of the board. What do you think? What are we going to do? What? So I don't want to do anything or say anything that will cause me to have to apologize. What is that? That's pride. Amen. So offense was being cloaked in pride. Amen. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the humble, there is wisdom. You keep offense hidden because it would bring shame. Proverbs 13:10, by pride cometh nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Offense will bring strife. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride brings destruction and failure because it's hiding offense. It's the trap of Satan. And offense, scandalon, scandalizo, scandalize is the bait. So we can see some then of the goals of offense as it tries to hide behind offense. Failure, shame, pain, goals of offense, amen. Pride, listen to this, this is important. Pride will always try to defend itself. But that only adds fuel to the fire. What's the correct response? Humility. But humility will agree and say, well, yes, you know, you're probably right about that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Amen. So then the enemy will try to use pride to keep you in an offended state. One thing that is so insidious about the bait of offense is the enemy will take what's already in you and use it against you. He will use your pride, not necessarily somebody else's stuff. He will use your stuff. He will use the words of your mouth. He will use the wrong meditation of your heart, your stuff, and use it against you. It is insidious. Escaping the trap of offense. Okay, Ira, well, I'm willing to admit, well, that maybe it's possible. I'm not saying that I do. But I could possibly have maybe a little offense, maybe. I have to check with my attorney, but don't quote me on this. But maybe a little. Amen. So how do I get beyond this? Because you don't know how they hurt me. You don't know what they said. You don't know what they did to me. Well, they probably did. They probably did do it. They probably did say it. And you probably feel that they owe you something as a result of what they did. That's why offense is hard to get rid of, because we feel that they owe me something. We feel that there's a debt, that there should be some payback, some repercussions, some recovery on my part for what they did to me. But here we go. It's still your heart that we have to deal with. And you may have tried to forgive before, and you haven't seen those people for years, or they may be dead. And you still have this wound. Now what? How do I escape this trap? I have this wound caused by this person, these people, and they're dead, but the wound remains. How do I escape this trap? Well, number one, make a firm decision that you want to be free of this offense. Because amazingly, many people do not want to be free. They like having a victim mentality. They like holding on to anger. They like having something to talk about what they did and what they said. They like holding on to this victim mentality. Two, commit the process. Commit to the process of letting God walk you through this, a.k.a. the journey class. Still got time. Don't be afraid to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal any unforgiveness or bitterness, Because the longer you hide it, the stronger it will become, and the harder your heart will grow. Amen. But know that God is God enough to make Romans 8:28 work in your decision, in your situation. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. But this, what's going on is not good. Well, look beyond where you are. Amen. And the process can cause you to look beyond your present place of pain to his ultimate purpose. Amen. Well, what is his ultimate purpose? His ultimate purpose is Ephesians 4:13, to grow us up into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to mature us as sons of God. Amen. Amen. So that's one side of the coin. What's the other side of the coin? The other side says, Matthew 18:35, so my Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. Anybody believe that Jesus means what he says? Amen. Well, then, okay, how do I jumpstart this process? Because Jesus means what it says. I need to dump this junk, right? So, one, repent and ask God to forgive you for holding unforgiveness. That's very key because we never think we need to repent for anything because we're the victim. But so we skip this point, and you know how many times you skip, if you skip first base, you okay, if you hit a home run, you run around the bases, and you miss first base, hit second, hit third, coming home, and you're going to be out. What happened? You missed first base. So ask God to forgive us for holding unforgiveness. Amen. Because God and offense is in the heart, right? And so when we ask him to forgive us for holding offense, then that frees his hands to help you with the forgiveness, amen. Help you to walk through this thing, amen. Secondly, forgive yourself. Dump the guilt complex. If God has forgiven you, who are you not to forgive yourself? Amen. Amen. So many times we have a problem forgiving ourselves. Why? Because many times some wounds are so deep that we can't forgive in the strength of our own soul. Many times we try to do things, accomplish things in the strength of our own soul. And it is not enough strength there. So that's why we ask God to forgive us so that we can operate with the strength of God. Use his strength, his grace, his power for my situation. Amen. Amen. So now he can begin to walk you through this situation, and he would do it at your own pace to bring healing and wholeness and restoration. Thirdly, pray passionately for them. Pray passionately for that person. Pray passionately for that situation. Pray for that person the same way you would want them to pray for you. David gave us a key in this when he's dealing with his own enemies, trying to kill him and everything. In Psalms 35:14, he said, but as for me, I prayed for them like they were my own brother. I prayed for them like I was mourning the loss of my mother. He prayed passionately for his enemies. Amen. So that's key in releasing and escaping the trap of offense. Amen. Amen. So quickly, we just want to pray. I would like you to pray silently because, you know, everybody got, no, don't call no names out loud, but just repeat after me, if you will, and just you can jumpstart this process right now and get it rolling. Amen. And just pray silently. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your patience and gentleness with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you forgive me for holding on to offenses. That is not your will for my life. I ask you to forgive me for holding on to those offenses and cleanse it from me in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I lift blank, whoever that person's situation is, I lift blank. Father, I forgive blank. I loose blank from my soul. I loose them out of my heart. God, I forgive them. And Father, I ask that you forgive them and hold no debt against them, God. I ask that you forgive them. And Father, I ask that you bless them. Bless the work of their hands. Bless them with a greater relationship with you. Cause them to come into greater discernment, God. God, I bless them. And I ask you to bless them and forgive them in Jesus' name. And I thank you for doing that, Lord. Amen. And sometimes you may have to do that more than once, twice, three dozen times. But the Lord is working with you to take you beyond your present place of pain into his place of purpose, maturing you into sons of God, growing us up into the image of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we both have the same daddy. And Father wants to grow us up into that image. What is the image of Jesus Christ? He's the express image of the Father. And he wants to grow us up into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. But the goal of offense is to stop all of that. Amen. So look past your present place of pain and to this point of purpose of what God has. So whatever's going on, instead of saying, why me, why me, why me, maybe the thing is, Father, how are you going to get glory out of this situation? How are you going to use this situation to mature me? How are you going to use this situation to grow me up as a mature son into the image of Jesus Christ? Father, I commit to the process. I commit to the process, Father, to you to grow me up and to remove this hurt and make me mature, because this is not the last offense. More will come. But if you're not strengthened past this offense, what about the next one? If you weary with the footmen, how are you going to deal with the horses? Amen. Commit to the process and escape the trap of offense. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.